Welcome to part two of our interview with Doug Schaefer, president of Schaefer Vineyards.
But the point being that you still groove on this whole idea. I mean, you see your face light up talking about, you know, being able to share that with your wife. After being in this business for so long, the passion's not gone away. It's still there with you.
You know something? Once in a while, I think maybe the passion has waned a little bit. And it's moments like this, so I actually want to thank you for it, because I'll be in a conversation with somebody. A lot of times it's someone from the press, and they'll ask me questions about, hey, what's it like, or what's a moment? And it'll bring something back. And that just pulls me right back, and how much I love it. And it's really become a part of me. And it's tough, because so much of the day-to-day, at least in my role now, is very much business, right? and earning the business, and kind of the, you know, day-to-day business type stuff, which is fine, but that's why I love Harvest. Even though I'm not the winemaker anymore, and even though I'm the, my help out at Harvest, I'm on the bottom rung in the cellar. You know, I get to wash the floors and clean the press because they don't trust me to do anything else anymore. But being a part of that, and, you know, and sticking your head in tanks and going around tasting the new wines with Elias every day, you know, which when I can, it brings it all back. Because those times were the most incredible times here at Schaefer, when we were trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Dad, Elias, and I, you know, we were trying to get, how do we get from making okay wine, okay, to good wine, and how do we make the next step to making great wine? And the challenges and the things that turned us on, you know, trying to get there, and then see them happen in front of you as you, you know, as this wine's fermenting and it's happening and right in front of you, it was the best. It's the best.
That's very cool. Okay, I can go home now. This is great.
Well, I'm thirsty. It's, you know, 9 in the morning, but I feel like getting a bottle of wine. I'm not sure. Yeah, we can do that.
You know, it's that thing, though, of it's what you share with your dad and with Elias, the teamwork the three of you have, the memory that goes with it, you know, and that moment of saying, yeah, like you say, you've really nailed it. Going back, as you say, around 40 years, do you have a chance every now and then to crack an old bottle, and I don't know what you keep in your cellar, and kind of stand back going, yeah, we really were headed down the right path, or maybe that wasn't a good idea?
We have. I have a couple times in the last, just the last 6 months, because our current Hillside was the 25th Hillside Select we've made, the 2007. And we had a wonderful opportunity, both in Switzerland with my importer there, this is back in March, and then 2 days later in Paris to do a 17-year vertical and then a 15-year vertical of Hillside Selects. One with 60 folks in Switzerland, consumers, and it was great. It was over a 3 or 4 hour period with, you know, a meal at the same time. The wines, you know, a lot of these wines I haven't had a long time, and to taste them side by side was great. And to tell the stories of the evolution of winemaking here. And then we did the same thing in Paris with sommeliers and journalists. I was pretty nervous about it, but my importer there said, we need to do this. These guys, these somms here in Paris need to taste a Napa Valley Cabernet, you know, with this many years on it. And it was fantastic. And these guys were good. They were good. I'll tell you why they were good. They nailed it. Because you go back in some of these years, and this was a cooler year, this was a warmer year, this was a year we couldn't, you know, had more tannin because of this or that, you know, different things, or this is when we used to add too much acid or over filter. These guys picked up on it before we even talked about that, so which was really cool. They, you know, this one seems a little, you know, a little greener. It's like, wow, that was a less ripe year. It's like, and they nailed it. But in tasting the wines like that over that span of that time period, And that's also a lot of times with the evolution of what we were doing in the vineyard and the cellar to try to make a better wine. And the wines actually show that. It's like, wow, this is where we didn't use enough oak, and we got more new oak, you know, added to it. And that's what's fascinating to me. And then once in a while we'll pop a 78 cab. We still have about 6 or 7 bottles of that left. Dad's first Cabernet, which was like the original Hillside. You know, it's still hanging in there. It's a beautiful wine.
That's going to make you feel real good, especially 78. I mean, that, you know, that's a long time ago. And again, in those early years of Napa Valley growing.
Yeah, well, that was the first cab that Dad made, and it put us on the map. It was the year Duckhorn 78 Merlot and Schaefer 78 cab. We were, you know, there's always a couple new hot kids on the block. That was our year.
Nice to look back at
that. Not anymore.
But, you know. a lot has changed, but still, you're right there and one of the most important labels here. What was the first year of Hillside Select?
83.
Okay. Schaefer, and obviously your dad, and obviously you have been involved in a lot of charity work here in the Valley, and certainly with this being auction week, being one of the biggest, most visible parts of that, that's got to be a challenge to be able to keep that kind of thing up on a regular basis and still operate a business, because obviously it can be very demanding, the needs of charities, and you guys have always been very good about that kind of thing, but does that present a lot of difficulty for you at all?
I'm actually a really lucky guy on that one, because the guy next door, Dad, you know, is the one. He's the one that's involved with Clinic Olay and four or five other, you know, local charities, and has been for 10 or 15 years heavily involved, which is wonderful, because it's, you know, he not only does it for himself, but it's also representing the winery. So it's that burden that's fallen on, that's not a burden, it's his pleasure, but he covers that, and because of that, I haven't had to spend as much time on it, so I can take care of running the business, which has worked out well. So he's devoted so much time, and of course, we donate from the winery where we can, just like everybody else around here, with wines and tours and things like that. But it's worked out well, but he's been the guy. And he's done a tremendous, tremendous job. And he does it very quietly behind the scenes. But he's, I tell you, I'm down in Napa at some store at the cleaners, or, you know, getting something with my kids. And somehow Schaefer comes up and somebody will say, "Oh, Schaefer, you know, is John Schaefer your father?" I say, "Yeah." Normally it's a wine person, but not this situation. They're just like local folks. And they go on and on and on. Your dad has done this for this, you know, thing I'm involved with, this charity. He's been so gracious. It's been great. I mean, the following he has in the at-large community here in Napa is really incredible. That's great. He's worked hard at it, and he's done some great things.
Well, he's a great guy. I have to say, he was one of our very earliest interviews when I started this project, and back when I was still trying to figure this whole thing out. And he made me feel like I'd known him for years and made me very comfortable. But you still do show up at all the, every time I go to any of these events, which the Napa Valley Vintners have always been very kind to us as far as their support, but you're there all the time too, and that takes a lot of your time. You're a family guy.
Yeah, it's, you know, you know, it's all about juggling and balance, and you know, we all do it. Yeah. And it's fine. It's all for a wonderful cause, especially, you know, this week with the auction. You know, and you get ready for it. You know it's coming. Yeah. You know, most of the week will be spent, you know, going to different events and saying hey to people and shaking hands, and which is fine. But, you know, yesterday was Memorial Day. I was here for 5 or 6 hours getting some desk work done. You know, I mean, that's just part of the deal.
That's the glamour of owning a business, though,
yeah,
right?
You got it.
Yeah, exactly. You're a family guy. I don't know how many kids you have. I just see the pictures of a lot. I don't know if those are all yours, or do you have five?
I've got five.
Wow, congratulations.
I've got five beautiful kids.
And what are their age ranges?
We've got all the way from, I've got three boys, 25, 22, and 11, and then two girls, 27 and 7.
Wow, that's quite a spread.
It's a 20-year spread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any chance you might see one of them? I mean, you're second generation. Mm-hmm. Any chance? Are any of them involved at this point?
At this point, no. There's not only my five. There's another, there's a total of 13 grandchildren in that generation. It's so far, no one's really, you know, been knocking on the door, which is fine. They're all busy doing their own things and pursuing their own passions, which is what I've always encouraged with my kids. I mean, you know, find something you love. And if you find something you love to do and really like to do, it'll never be work. I know that's kind of an old, trite saying, but, you know, it's true. And I've encouraged them to do that. And they're all doing it on their own, and they're all doing really well with it. So we'll see what happens.
What I explain to a lot of people about the business is how you people operate here in Napa, and many people in my business, the cooperation, the sharing, and the fact that it's a social business, from my point of view, seems to take a lot of the stress and the ugliness that comes with just the nature of owning a business out of it. Would you agree with that? I mean,
well, it's a interesting industry, because, you know, I read books by other business folks and management and some of these other companies and technology companies, and yeah, there's a lot of dog-eat-dog. You know, hear these stories like, oh my gosh, that really happens. And that doesn't seem to happen here. Does that mean it's all buddy, buddy, everybody you see? No. But as far as growing grapes and making wine and equipment and technology, we share with everybody and vice versa. You know, we get a new press and we call up our neighbor who's got the same press. They'll say, hey, you know, don't forget about, you know, bleeding this air valve before you hit this air valve. You know, I mean, very helpful. But if I call him up and say, hey, tell me how you make your Chardonnay, you know, he's probably not going to tell me. And I'm not going to tell him either. So there's proprietary, you know, secrets. And out on the road, marketing and sales, I think we all have our own techniques. And so it's are we competitive? Sure we are. It's friendly competition. It's never, I think we're all of us out there, you know, no one ever talks anybody else down. It's like we're all making good wine. There's room for everybody out here. Which makes it a lot more pleasant for sure.
Yeah, I've never experienced that in this business, not even once.
Yeah.
This is the end of part two of our interview with Doug Schaefer of Schaefer Vineyards. To download part three, go to lifebetweenthevines.com.